Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
You guys, what's up? Happy Sunday. Welcome. I'm George Massey. This is the George Massey Show. We're going to get into some B90 before the 90 days. Episode 2. It was a lot of arrivals tonight, so we are going to get into this episode, break down this episode. I'm excited. This was a good episode. Hey Wheels. I had to watch it live. Again, what's up, Gina? What's up, Kara? Oh, Kara's here. I had to watch it live again tonight, unfortunately, because Warner Brothers Discovery hates me. And hello from Toronto. Hey, there's a lot of people that are from Toronto. I hear such amazing things about Toronto as well. So it's beautiful. I've only been once or twice, but I heard it's beautiful. Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I somehow ended up in some drama, so I'm going to talk. I'll text you about that later. But I don't know. I ended up in some drama today. So
who am I getting?
Her name is Danielle, and she's from Love in Paradise.
Send me a link.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. Apparently, she's declared war on me. So, yeah, we'll get into that later. But, so we're going to get into B90 episode 2. Oh, let me get my tweets. There was a lot that went on tonight because there was a lot of arrivals. So, Brian was arriving, and I want to talk about Renee, though, because Renee and Chitty, their story really stood out to me because they've been talking for 5.5 years. And I think it's really interesting because they don't have a lot of information about each other. Like, she traveled 7,000 miles and Chitty revealed to her, like, oh, well, I'm celibate. I feel like that is something that someone needs to bring up to you when you're dating. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like if you're dating somebody, it's important to know that they are celibate, or is that private?
Okay, I'm mad because I am going to send you something that he did reveal all of this while they were dating, before she came.
Wait, what? So wait, she knew that he was celibate before she got to Nigeria?
Yeah.
And she pretended like she didn't know.
That they were going to be sleeping in separate beds. She also knew, or she also threatened her dark forces on him.
Saw that and something about eating flesh or something crazy. I saw the stuff that she was saying. It was like, oh, and like rituals. I saw that, and that's pretty scary to a very religious person, right? Yeah. Like, if you're talking to a religious person, that's not really something that you want to hear from your spouse. You know, I grew up in Louisiana, so there was a lot of witchcraft and voodoo and stuff, and we didn't really play around with that. If somebody made threats, you know, with witchcraft or voodoo, we really did steer clear of that situation because, you know, being very religious, I was very religious growing up, we didn't play around with that. So interesting that she got all the way there and pretended as though she was completely unaware that he was celibate.
Okay.
Because I feel like
I sent you some stuff that you can read afterwards, but, and you, it may be what you've already seen because it sounds like it, but I was like, huh.
So is she trying to portray herself in a different way, in a different light? Because if she knew what she was getting into, she flew all the way there, like 7,000 miles. I mean, 5.5 years, I feel like this is something that you would have covered, right? So I feel like she definitely had to have known that. But she packed her special underwear and everything. Like, she was definitely planning to be intimate with
that's
him.
That's what I packed to go camping in. We call that a tent.
Well, that's what Twitter said. They were like, these are your special underwear. Those are, they refer to them as granny panties, uh-huh. Right? And a lot of people online were like, where do you even buy those? They don't make those. Like, where do grandparents buy underwear? You know, because they were like, and she was banking on the fact that he was blind, right? Because she was like, oh, I'm really insecure. I'm not secure. And I'm uncomfortable being naked, stuff like that. Lo and behold, when she arrives, the first thing he does is he feels around and he's like, oh, you're bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, look at that. A blind man is even, like, poking at your insecurities. insecurities, which I thought was crazy because I was like, I mean, I'm not saying that he meant it in that way because, you know, there's a language barrier. You know, there are different ways that you can try to say something. I don't think he was trying to say that she was fat, but I think he was trying to say like, oh, the size that I envisioned is not the size that you are, because she's clearly not fat, right? Like she's not fat. But I thought that it was really interesting because she said the number one reason she wanted to be with him was because he was blind and it would be good for her self-esteem and her insecurities. And I was like, well, hell, the first thing he said to you was he said something about your weight. So it just shows you that, you know, regardless of if they can see, if they can't see, if they can hear, they can't hear, your insecurities are yours.
Yeah.
And they're going to be there regardless of who you want to be with. Because obviously, saying you want to date somebody just because they're blind is kind of offensive.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. I found it to be a little offensive. I don't know if she meant it that way. Hey, Josh. I don't know if she meant it that way, but I was just like, that's like saying, oh, you want to date somebody that has a specific ailment or illness or disability because it makes your life easy in some way, shape, or form. It's kind of selfish, right? Like, I didn't like the way it came out at first.
So I said it last week, episode one, I can't stand her. And this week, I can't stand her more.
Well, you did say that. And it's really interesting because I didn't feel the same way as you. And the things that she was saying tonight, I didn't like any of it. Like, she said some stuff that really got under my skin. And I was like, I don't really like the way she's, like, weaponizing her self-esteem and her issues and then using his disability as a way to make herself feel better. I didn't really like that. And then she said he was her last resort. She's like, after him was an alien or a high-tech monkey. And I was like, how offensive is it to say, if it wasn't you, I would rather date an animal?
Yeah.
Like, that is really freaking, that's so offensive to say, basically saying he's the lowest of the low, and if this doesn't work out, I'll start dating non-humans. Yes. Like, I felt like she just kept saying stuff over and over that pissed me off.
Absolutely. She also, this girl talks like a freaking toddler. She keeps, one scene, she's either talking like a baby or she's talking like a demon. There is no in between. She's not like a normal human. There's something very, very off with this woman.
Well, I saw the scene for next week, right? Where they went to the market to get the chickens and they were going to, obviously, you know, we've been watching the show for a long time. We know overseas, you buy live meat.
Yep.
And then they kill it for you. Like, it's not like when we go to the grocery store and everything's already dead.
Right.
You know, you go there and their stuff is, when they say fresh, they mean it was alive when you got it, right? Like, they're very, very fresh. Like, in America, we don't need it to be that fresh. So they went to get food. And she's like, well, yelling at Victoria. And she's like, you need to let that chicken live. And she's getting all offensive. And I was like, you have to know that people eat chickens, right? Like, right. You have to know that. And, you know, people are eating the eggs. Like, if you want to get technical, when she goes and takes the eggs from her chickens and sell those to people, those are the chickens' babies. You're selling their babies to people to eat. So, like, you can't be super, super sensitive to chickens' lives if you're actually selling their babies to people. Yep. Imagine if a human woman gave birth to her baby and then you would go take the baby and then sell it to someone so they could eat it, right? Like, don't pretend like you're holier than thou. You're literally taking her babies from underneath her and selling them to people so they can eat them in the morning.
Yep. Absolutely. Also, I didn't like how she said this about having this feeling about being with the significant other's sister, how her intuition is always right and blah, blah, blah. She's already going in ready to have problems with this girl.
Well, yeah, and I noticed that too.
She's totally, you know, whatever I can do to make you feel comfortable and I've cleaned my house and want her to be happy and all this stuff. I think his sister is awesome.
She gave up her bed, right? She gave up her bed. And also, I heard her say something in the episode where she was like, I'm jealous of Victoria and his brother-in-law because they get to be with him all the time. And I was like, I feel like she's coming in with animosity, not because Victoria did anything to her, but only because Victoria is physically present. Yeah. And she wasn't for 5.5 years. And it's almost like a jealousy.
Yeah.
But
I feel.
Yeah. And it's like, I didn't see anything that Victoria did that was wrong, but, you know, we're fresh in, right? We're two episodes in. I know they're going to clash, you know, all families clash, especially when you're mixing these cultures like this. But I definitely think Renee is a wild card
for this season. I think she's psychotic already.
So, I mean, I know she's going to turn into a weirdo. We saw the beginning of it for the preview for next week when she flipped out because apparently she was unaware that people kill chickens in Nigeria, right? Like, she was unaware. And I was like, God forbid she goes to any other European countries because they kill, like, more pet-friendly animals in other countries. So I was like, God forbid you go anywhere, you know, more exotic because they kill things that you would never even imagine.
Yeah.
And sometimes they put it on your plate and it's still moving.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you. So God forbid she gets any more cultured. But I do think that she is going to lose it on them. And I don't think that his family is the reason. And I mean, I can understand the frustration of flying 7,000 miles to be with somebody that you've known for 5.5 years and you're not going to be intimate, you know, because I think that a relationship over the phone or over FaceTime is not a real relationship. A real relationship starts when you go and you're in the same place, you share that intimacy. I think that's when you become to build that bond. But if she knew about it all along, I don't like it when people take someone's religion and then they know about it and then they try to negotiate with them. It's like if they were very clear to you about what they can and can't do or what they can and won't do, it's not a negotiation. Right. You have to accept people and their beliefs for who they are. You can't turn them into who you want. And I think that's what we're going to get into this season with Tiger Lily and Adnan. I think it's going to turn into one of those compromising who you are for me. But I think Renee, I don't know, man. People have been telling me different stuff. And I saw a lot of this information because Chitty posted a bunch of info online and she's been posting rebuttals back and forth. And I'm getting vibes from her.
I can't bring myself. I might start following her. I don't know. But I follow Chitty, but there's something so off about her. So off.
I don't know. I liked her at first. I thought she was quirky and she reminded me of Staller at first, but I think that not
her either. So yes. There's that.
I liked her at first. Now she's like a little weird and crazy. She showed up to the tell-all after they told her not to be there and tried to get in. Like now she's like completely off the wall. And I think this is probably where we're going with Renee. I think that we're going to get that same type of off the wall craziness. Also, I want to talk about Ingrid a little bit tonight because we actually met her tonight on the show and we were talking with her and her family and her friends. So apparently her family doesn't know, not necessarily that she's with a guy in a wheelchair. They don't know that she's with a guy at all, which is kind of a red flag to me. But it's also a red flag to me. I think we talked about this before that she hasn't really asked questions. And I got like, do you remember Mike and Jimena?
Yep.
I'm getting like a Jimena vibe from her. Like, I really don't want to be wrong, but she's got two young kids. Remember, Jimena had two young kids.
Yep.
And she was with a gringa, you know, a gringo guy. And she was looking for somebody to take care of her. You know, Brian being 51, she's 33. It's a big age gap. And she kind of might have looked at it as, well, we don't have to have sex because he's a quadriplegic. Yep. And I'm getting like these vibes. And I could be wrong. You know, she could actually love him, but the fact that she's not asking questions, she's not really trying to get to know how things work, it kind of makes me feel like she's looking for a sucker, right? Are you getting those vibes too?
At first, I was. And the fact that she hadn't told her parents about it.
Yeah.
Like, you're serious. You're going to tell your parents. This guy that I've been dating in America is going to come and see me. I feel like he could be the one. You want to warn mom and dad so they're not so shocked. But not only that, he's going to come in a wheelchair. Like, not that you need to make an announcement that you're dating someone with a disability, but you need to prepare people so that their reaction is normal instead of, you know, I mean, they could be very welcoming and not even act like they see it. They could also look surprised, which would make him feel uncomfortable.
I was surprised that Brian was like, oh, she reacted to the wheelchair positively. Are we in 2024 reacting to people in wheelchairs negatively?
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, so you're telling me that there are people that when they see that you're in a wheelchair and you're a quadriplegic, they react negatively. Right. I didn't know that we were doing that.
Yep.
Right? Like, I remember when I was really young, my mom used to teach me, like, don't stare at people that are disabled or whatever. Because as a kid, you know, kids don't know. They're like, well, right. why are they in a wheelchair and I'm not? You know, when I was younger, I didn't understand it. So my mom taught me pretty young, like, hey, don't stare at people that have a disability.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with them. They might have been born that way or whatever. So it was really, I don't know, I guess disturbing to me when he said that. Because I was like, that means that people do react in a negative way towards him because he's disabled, you know? And I didn't realize that we were still at that point where we're making people feel bad.
Yeah.
Because they're in a wheelchair. I didn't even know that. I mean, I know that places are required to have accommodation. We have to make sure that everyone of every walk of life can go to a restaurant, go to a mall, even go to a theme park. There's accommodation for everyone. So the fact that people, and maybe it's in the dating world, you know, maybe people are giving him a negative reaction. It's kind of scary, right?
Like, people feel like his negative reactions are coming from the fact that he's been married 4 times, that he's been engaged a bunch of times, the fact that he was an actual drug dealer and that's why he got shot, even though they left us on that cliffhanger. I feel like the more shocking reaction is the fact that she has 2 kids, she's leaving, and they're staying in separate places. One staying with grandpa and one staying with a babysitter.
Yeah, and it crossed my mind because 2 kids, 2 different dads, right? Yeah. So I was like, is it possible that grandma of 1 kid didn't want to take the other kid because it's not her grandkid? Like, is that a thing? Because I was like, why wouldn't grandma just take both kids, right?
I don't think grandma would take both kids, but if not, have said babysitter that's taking 1 kid take both of them.
Take both. Separating them, it was really weird. And I know that...
Stupid. Like, if as a child, if your mother leaves for 3 weeks, the only other thing you know is your sibling, and now your sibling is going to their grandparents because they have good grandparents and apparently I don't. So now I'm stuck with babysitter without mom, without sibling. That all just struck me very wrong.
Yeah, I was confused because I was like, well, first of all, I respect that she wants to meet him first and keep the babies out of it. I always think it's important because children are very welcoming of everyone, but it's hard when you have different people in and out because children don't understand breakups. They don't understand fighting. They don't understand restraining orders. Children don't understand that stuff. So I get that you need to get to know people before you introduce them, but the whole situation, her kids are really young.
Yeah.
And that struck me as really... I don't want to say like negative, but I was just like, you were just recently with someone else. So it's like, I don't want her to see him as a sucker, yep, even though he's not innocent, right? Like, he has not been honest with her about everything. And I think dishonesty is the worst thing you can do when you're starting a new relationship. I think that he should have been really open and upfront about his past because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I don't want to say that there's any danger of dating someone who used to be a drug dealer. You know, he's clearly been out of that for 20 something years, right? Like, right. I don't think that, but I think people should know where you came from and they should know your struggles and your past. If you're going to build a new relationship, they should know at least how you became disabled. Like, if you became disabled and it wasn't by birth, they should know, you know, what happened, just so if their friends or family asked them, they could give an explanation, right? Like, imagine her mom meets him and she's like, oh, well, what happened? She doesn't really know because you didn't tell her.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I think that's important. You should know these things because it makes it a smoother transition over trying to get people to understand your relationship if you understand your relationship. Right?
I totally agree. I do have to say, though, I felt like their meeting at the airport was pretty wholesome. The way she just got on his wheelchair, gave him a hug, like that. That was really wholesome. It was almost like, I mean, in that moment, it was like he wasn't in a wheelchair. It was like they had met before. And that felt real to me. Do I think
I agree.
That's going to last? Absolutely not.
No, I don't see it.
But I think the meeting was wholesome.
Yeah, she didn't look freaked out, which he said was great, which I didn't think it was possible. But I felt like it was a normal, other than him being in a wheelchair, it was a completely normal meeting between two people.
Like, well, you can watch if you notice on the show, when people are meeting at the airport, they'll show the face of the person hugging the other person. Like, not whoever arrived, but whoever's waiting. And they're hugging him, and they're always like,
yeah.
Actually smiling. She was smiling from ear to ear. She had like genuine tears in her eyes. That's what I mean. It was wholesome. It was like she was truly happy to see him. Again, yes. I don't think the relationship's gonna last, but it was a cute meeting.
I've been asking since we met him and her, how much money does he send her? And I hate to get like straight to that, but I don't know. I feel like she's a young, beautiful mom, a woman, and she could date anybody she wants. I think that there's some sort of dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah.
And she said in her packet, she's like, you know, I'm a single mom. It's really difficult. I've went through hard times. And then she said, then I met Brian.
Yeah.
Usually, right? Usually when someone's like, I was going through a hard time, things were really rough, and then I met this person, that means that this person came into your life and made your life easier in some way. And that usually means money.
Yep.
Right? It usually, so I'm beginning to think, so he came into your life, now your life is so much better. Is it because he's sending you money? It's just, I just want to know. And if once we can get past that, maybe I can actually see, maybe she loves him, maybe it's a relationship, but I need to know the amount of money that is being sent, right? Yep. Because she didn't really say she had a job. Did you catch that? Like, no. She didn't really talk about work. She talked about being a mom. She talked about her struggles. She talked about how she had two kids by two different dads. Like, she got into all of that and how much she likes to ride horses. But we didn't really get into work, yep, right? And I think that being a single mom, usually there's a job, yep, entailed in there somewhere. So I'm just really wondering, wait, her friend said because he's a gringo. Yeah, her friend did say that, because her friend was like, well, what is your plan? You know, is he going to come here? Are you going to go there? And before she could answer, well, she was like, oh, I don't know. We never talked about it. And I was like,
nope.
Come on now. You have an idea in your mind of what you want to do, right? And her friend was like, well, he's a gringo. So you're talking to gringo. So I know what your plan is. You're looking for a way out. It's literally what her friend said. She's like, yeah, you're looking for a way to get out, which there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, if you have a dream to get to another place, and you do it the right way, and you're honest about it, I don't have a problem with, yeah, you know, people following their dreams.
But be honest about it.
Well, right. I don't think that he knows what he really wants. Because I think if this was a real relationship, they would have had a conversation about what works below the belt by now. And I think...
Yeah, absolutely. But if you remember right, last episode, he was saying how he goes to Brazil, he finds love, he this, he that. This is like the fourth time he's been engaged to a Brazilian woman. So he keeps going over there with intent of moving, just like this time. He's moving there. She thinks she's coming here. So
true.
It's going to be really rough.
Yeah, lack of communication causes for a lot of drama, right? So I wanted to talk a little bit about Tiger Lily in this episode. So she arrives in Jordan dressed like a hoochie in Muslim standards. She looked nice. I actually thought her outfit was really nice, but if you were a Muslim man, she was dressed like a hoochie. So she
looked like somebody off of Star Trek.
She did. It was, yeah, I can see that. And so I want to talk about Adnan a little bit, because I want to get your impression, because we got to meet him in his element with his friends. Kind of like at his little bachelor party or whatever. So I wanted to get like your raw reaction of what you thought. He's a 22-year-old virgin, right? So first of all, I wanted to ask you, do you buy that?
No, he's a pompous, arrogant prick.
Really? That's so you think that he has been having sex with women probably since he was 18?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I think before he was 18, he's a model and he's so attractive and nobody can refuse him and blah, 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 blah.
That crossed my mind, because he kept saying how his appearance, how he had to make sure he looked good and he couldn't have an ugly or a person who didn't dress well on his shoulder. I was like, for someone who's celibate, I would just kind of roll out of bed and go, because I'm not trying to look good for anyone, because we're not doing that. So he spent a lot of time on his appearance, clothing, and he said a lot how women just track him down, stop him, get his, ask for his number. And I was like, that's really interesting for you to focus on that for someone who says they're not interested in sex in any way until they get married. And I think that as long as, I think we heard this on one another show, they just lie. Like, as long as no one knows that they're having sex, it's not like against the, well, I mean, it's against the rules, but as long as no one knows, it's not a big deal. I think, yeah. I want to say we learned about it on Match Me Abroad.
Yeah.
Where as long as you get
caught.
Right. As long as you're doing it late at night and nobody knows what you're doing, you know, you won't get disfellowship from your religion or your church or whatever. It just, I found it really hard to believe that him being so arrogantly full of himself that he was just, you know, not having sex. And by choice, you know, and it's interesting because
he said, it is important for me to feel special all of the time.
Oh, yeah, he did say that. He did. Yeah.
Well,
which,
when you marry someone that it's important for them to feel special 200% of the time, the odds of you feeling important 100% of the time are slim.
Yeah.
Because
I think that
she's a princess. She is a princess.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a lot of clash between the two of them, because I think that they both want to be in the spotlight and they both want to be the most important person. I think you call it main character syndrome. I think they both are the main character in this story, and you know, a story can only have one main character and a supporting person, and I think that neither one of them are going to accept
you,
the supporting
absolutely.
Role,
you
right?
Nailed that better. That is so spot on.
Well, you know, Tiger Lily, we were watching her package from the beginning. She's this rich, beautiful woman who likes the finer things in life. She's the princess. She has to be the most important person. And then we watch him. His is pretty accurately the same as hers. I don't think he's rich, but I think that everything else, he's a prince. He needs to be the center of attention. The spotlight has to be on him. He's a model. Everyone has to look at him. I don't know how they're going to mesh, right? Like, usually a princess doesn't want to be outshined by her prince.
Yeah.
You know, usually I've noticed a lot of times princesses will marry I don't want to say ugly prince, but a very basic prince, you know, in order to make sure that the spotlight is on them, right? I don't want to say which prince and princess I'm talking about, but I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about, right? The royal one. So yeah, they usually pick a guy that isn't going to overshadow them, and they're always going to be the prettiest girl in the room, right? And they don't have to worry about anybody paying too much attention to the other person. So I feel like the idea of her getting married to him the day that she arrived is kind of desperate, because she said that the reason why was they couldn't be in the same room together. But when she arrived, he hugged her, which was against his religion. He kissed her, which was against his religion. And they also went to a hotel together in the same room while they were getting ready, just for them to get ready together, which was also against the religion. So what would be the difference if they got married 2 weeks later? They were already breaking all the rules.
Yeah.
I just think that it's really desperate to do that. And it makes me wonder why she was willing to do it, because, you know, she's being taken care of by her ex-husband. And she said it took 4 years to get the settlement and the divorce that she wanted. And the second you get remarried, that spousal support ends. Well, I mean, not the second. The second he finds out and files the motion, then the spousal support ends. And I'm going to go ahead and say that Adnan is not as wealthy as her ex-husband.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, I'm just gonna throw that out there. He's a 22-year-old model, which normally means broke, right?
In Georgia.
Right. And she said that he lives with his brother, so he doesn't even have his own house.
Yep.
He's roommating, and she's gonna throw away her spousal support, which she could probably get for at least until the kids are older, right? The kids are still young. She could get it for many, many years and throw it all away to marry a guy. And it reminded me of Mary at First Sight. Right? Like, it was basically that show. She's marrying a guy that she never met. And it was weird because in the car, when they were driving into the city, it was that awkward silence.
Yep.
And I was like, can you imagine you're about to marry somebody, you haven't seen them, you just meet them, and you have nothing to say? Can you, like, imagine?
And then you flip it because you find out his family's going to be at his wedding.
Well, why wouldn't they be? That was really weird, too, because I was like, you're in his hometown with his family, and you're having a wedding, a big wedding, right?
And they're paying for it.
She has four dresses for this big wedding. She knew it was a big wedding. Why would his family not be there?
And they're paying for it. They're making the arrangement. She had nothing to do with it. Obviously, they're going to be there.
They're going to be there, and they're going to be judging, right? Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure she should have been fully aware. But again, I don't think she's very fully aware of much going on around her. I think that she's really lightheaded, I guess is a nice way to put it, airheaded. Yeah, I think that until you bring something to her attention, she might not notice it. She's one of those self-absorbed, I'm going to take a selfie above myself. Like, you know that meme where there's like a little girl, there's a house burning down behind her, and she's just like on the swing?
Yes.
Like, yeah. I feel like that's her. Like, there's like, no matter what's going on around her, she's just thinking about Tiger Lily and what Tiger Lily is doing. And I feel like that's probably going to be the issue. Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of issues in the situation because she doesn't know what it entails to be a wife of a Muslim man. And it's already starting. And I don't want to sound stereotypical, but this is a very open and closed cookie cutter situation when it comes to marrying a Muslim man. He's attracted to you because you're hot and you dress sexy. And then when he marries you, you need to stop being hot and you need to stop being sexy and you need to drape like a large sheet over your entire body at all times. Like, this is very cut and dry. We've seen this story over and over and over. And it just makes me question, first of all, why she would want to do it. But second of all, why do Muslim men go out of their way to find women that they know are going to give them such pushback to change into their religion? It's like, it would be so much easier to just find a Muslim woman who already believes and understands it. And it's like, so I don't know. I just look at it as extra work. Like, you know how when you go to work and if you work with certain people, you know, you're going to have to work a little extra hard because that person that you work with is lazy and they're also an idiot. So you're going to have to do more. So I feel like you going out and finding an American woman who dresses however she wants, and then that's what attracted you to her. But then once you get her, you're like, so yeah, you need to start wearing like muumuus and cover your hair and not do this. And it's like so much extra work because there's going to be pushback and she's probably going to get mad at you and you're going to fight all the time. It would be easier for you to just find a woman who is fully immersed in the religion and understands it. And there's no challenge, right? Like, or maybe the challenge is what's sexy. I don't know. I'm not Muslim. So I don't know why they want the challenge.
Can we talk about why she has her entire, well, two people, her glam squad doing her freaking hair on the plane, but then gets off said plane and spends an hour and 20 minutes in the bathroom doing your hair that your glam squad just did, and it looks horrible. You can literally see the extensions, like, you can, it's like almost Darcy and Stacy bad, but not quite as fried. But
well, I thought her hair looked real.
It's not real, and I'll tell you why you can tell. When you watch, so when she's standing there and it's like straight and looks like it's all blended together,
yeah,
that looks real. Then she curls it, and the top layer that's super short is her real hair. The straight part underneath that's curled at the bottom is not her real hair.
Oh. See, I didn't know. It all looked real to me.
It is not real. It is horrible.
How did she get an outlet on the plane? Because that was like the first thing that came to my mind, because they're usually just USB outlets.
I'm sure that they're battery powered. There's battery powered hair straighteners and curling irons and all of that.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah. I didn't think of that. That makes sense.
But
I don't understand
why she's getting dolled up on the plane and then goes to the bathroom to do it herself.
I don't get it. I don't get her. And I don't feel like why she... I mean, no, I understand why she brought a glam squad. She's getting married. Any bride is going to have somebody to make sure that you look good. But when you get off the airplane, you're not supposed to look like you just walked the runway in New York. You're on an airplane for like 20 hours. You're supposed to look tired, right? Like, that's what I would expect. That's why when people do these big meetings and they're like, oh, I'm going to meet them at the airport after their 26-hour flight, I'll be like, I would rather you meet me at the hotel after I go and make myself look less like a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather you not. So the idea of like someone filming me getting off the plane looking all crazy, doesn't seem appealing to me. I would rather.
Can you imagine going to meet the love of your life, the person you're going to marry, knowing he's on the other side of those gates, and you veer off for 85 minutes? He's gonna leave. He's gonna think you set him up. He's gonna think that you changed your mind. That's a lot of time. He was there, no response. Like, at least respond to the poor guy. Gotta freshen up.
He could have at least, like, if her plane landed at 10 p.m. and you know you're gonna be an hour and a half, say my plane lands at 11:30. You know, be a little considerate, you know, of people. One thing I do hate when I do have to pick up someone from the airport is when I get there and I'm early. Like, tell me, because I do this all the time. When someone tells me when their plane leaves, that's when I leave my house.
Yeah.
Because I know when the plane, when the plane lands, like say the plane lands at 10, I know you won't deplane until 10:30. You're going to sit on that plane for half an hour. And I also know that you're going to sit in baggage claim for a half an hour. Yep. So when you tell me you land at 10, I'm going to leave my house at 10.
Yep.
Because by the time I actually get to the airport and actually get to departures, that's when you'll be walking out.
100.
You know, because I was like, I don't know why people do that. But I would have definitely said, okay, if I land at 10, don't get here till 11. You know, like, yep. I would be a little more considerate. But again, she is the main character here. Like, she, and I think that this guy being a 22-year-old model who thinks he's God's gift to Jordan, it's going to be a huge clash. And I don't even know if they're going to make it a few months. Like, honestly, I don't know how long they're going to make it. I think that she's going to marry him and screw everything up with her spousal support and everything, and then realize she screwed up and try to get an annulment. I think that's what's going to happen. Like, that was my first thing.
I agree.
She's going to try to do the annulment because the annulment will undo the stopping of the spousal support, because the annulment voids anything that happened consequent of it. So I think she'll get over there. She'll realize that, hey, being a Muslim wife doesn't really appeal to me because I like to do my hair and dress nice. And being a Muslim wife, you're not allowed to do either of those things. So I think that she's going to realize that and try to annul it and try to get back on her spousal support, which
I agree
would be intelligent, right? That would be very intelligent for her to do.
Basically, flew to Jordan, married someone so she can have sex with him for the 6 days that she's there, and then come home, annul it, get paid for the show, and get back on her spousal support, and then everything's fine.
Can you imagine getting married just to have sex?
That's crazy.
The craziest thing to me. And even just for a week, like, that is crazy to me. And so I was talking about this on X. There's a lot of people that are doing this celibacy for their religion. And more religions are taking on this, you can't have sex until you're married. I mean, most of the religions do this, but not everybody follows it. We're seeing a lot more people now that are adopting this rule, which I think is crazy. I don't think that you can marry someone without having sex. And I don't want to sound shallow. I don't want to sound stupid. But building a relationship has different tiers. Like, there's emotional, physical attraction, mental compatibility, intimate compatibility. There's different factors to know if a relationship is going to work. And I think marrying, because just like that show Married at First Sight, every time people get married, it's like a super low percentage of people who stay together. They're usually divorced pretty quickly because you're married to a stranger. And even if you love a person, once you meet them and live with them, you start seeing and noticing things that you just hate, right?
Right.
And even when you love a person truly and you've known them for a long time, you still, when you move in, you notice things about them and you're just like, I don't really like that. You know, I don't know if I can get past that. And you have to, and that's what people that know each other. I think that she's going to realize that she married a guy because she thought he was cute. And it's going to destroy her life, you know? And I think being a Muslim wife is a commitment outside of marriage. You're, like, when you become a Muslim or marry a Muslim, there's two commitments. You commit to the person and then you commit to the religion.
Yep.
And I don't think that she's a commitment person at all. So I think that they're both going to fall apart.
Oh, I totally agree. Also, she has kids that she has to remember. You know, is she moving to Jordan or is she moving him here? Either way, if she decides to convert or live like a Muslim, her children are going to have to do the same thing. And I don't think that's going to be awesome for them.
Well, the children are also for, I mean, the dad has some say in what religion bring around his children. Like, he can actually go to the courts and file a motion. She's raising my children Muslim and I disagree.
Absolutely.
You can actually, because family court is so messy. Like, he can say, she's taking my kids to Disney World and I didn't want them to leave the state. Like, he could literally make everything difficult for her if he really wanted to.
And dad got more money, he could fight it.
He can definitely make her life a living hell. Exactly. So she should really think about that, because I'm pretty sure the way she explained the divorce, she came after him. She, because divorce doesn't take 4 years to settle. So this was a tooth and nail fight. So he's looking for an opportunity to get back.
Yes.
At her for what she did, right? You know that she came for him and hit him really hard, especially in the wallet. So now that she's doing really stupid things, you know he's at home on the phone with his legal counsel. What can we do?
Yep.
Because she ruined my life. You know, because you know how men are. Men, this is exactly how they are. They're just as petty as women. So he's like, what can I take away from her? Like, what can I do now that she's doing
especially because he's in a super high CEO position. It took me all of, I don't know, 10 minutes to figure out exactly who he is, what company he works for, the last five companies he works for, how he got promoted to this company, and why he's there, his background, his degrees. I figured all of that out in 10 minutes, which means everybody he works with did too.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that his ex-wife is on the show. This is probably the talk of the office. You already know that everybody is talking about it.
Your ex-wife just went on national television and talked about what an abusive piece of shit you are.
Yes. Yes. So, that is actually ammunition. Okay. That's ammunition. So even if things were good and they were in a good co-parenting position, now she's reopened the wound. She went on TV, and he's a very powerful person. You know, you run a company, you have people that work for you, you have business relationships, you have sponsorships, you have donors. All these people are now looking at the show, and they're like, oh, this guy that I entrusted, you know, with a donorship, or I invested in his company, he's abusive, he beats people. You know, so now she's went and reopened that wound, and she's challenging his professional career. And again, we don't know what's true and what's not. We haven't actually seen a police report that he actually did that, because when people break up, a lot of times when they go to court, they'll say, oh, he hit me, or he yelled at me, or he's emotionally abusive. And even though they never said any of that beforehand, it's very helpful for the proceedings that they're going through now. So we don't really know if it's true or not, or if it's exaggerated. We don't really know what really happened, because usually people don't say these things until they're absolutely 100% ready to end the relationship. And we don't know when that's going to be. So this could have been going on for 5, 6, 7 years until she woke up and was ready to be done. And then she's ready to say, oh, he's an abusive person. But we don't know if it was actually going on for the whole time. We don't know if it happened. That was the last shot, happened once. We don't know anything. But his professional world is going to be in jeopardy, because when those type of stories come out, other companies and other aspects of your business are questioned. Like, people are like, well, I don't want to do business with somebody that is on TV for being abusive to women.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to invest my money with someone who could do something like that. So that's a whole nother issue that she's opening up for herself, right?
So I'll just go ahead and out her for everyone that wants to know. Her real name is obviously not Tiger Lily. It's Mariko Haberman. So you guys can do all the research you want.
Yeah.
M-A-R-I-K-O.
She said,
Haberman.
Okay, so the story she told was the name Mariko, she was named after a relative, and that relative actually poisoned and killed another relative of hers. And she supposedly, allegedly, right, again, we've never seen a police report. This is just what she wants us to know. And she legally had her name changed to Tiger Lily because she didn't want that association. Or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what's going on. I think it's really interesting that you would change your name completely and then wipe your Instagram clean right before you go on TV. That's a little weird, right?
Yep.
Like you're hiding something. It's like you change your name completely, you wipe your Instagram clean, so no actual posts from beforehand show up. Oh, let me pin that. Yeah, there's the name there, guys, if you want to do the deep dive. I posted the pictures of the ex-husband on my Twitter. So if you want to see that. But again, if you start the rabbit hole, it'll all come up.
Yep.
Kara literally, we talked about it, and then like literally right away, she sent me all the information. It was really quick. So
it was easy to find.
So Faith has like 5 jobs, yeah. Right? So we found out that she works at a hotel, which they also let her live at the hotel. That's a good freaking job, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. That is
amazing. I'm happy to hear that. She's also a magician. She's also a makeup artist. She's a very hardworking person. Yes. So what bothers me is she's in a relationship with a deadbeat. Like that's, I'm just going to be real. She's in a relationship with a deadbeat. And she said before he got there, she was like, he's going to have to rent his own room when he gets here. And I was like, see, he's not going to have any money to rent his own room. And she's like, she wants to take it slow. Again, this is her first boyfriend ever, which is crazy because she's 33, right? Or she, no, she's 30. She's 33.
Yeah.
She's 30. Still crazy, right? To be that, I don't want to say old, but like that mature to be in your first relationship. You know, usually, I don't know, I had a girlfriend in third grade. So like, it's weird to me that she's 30 years old. This is her first guy. And I feel like, yes, a hobo. Yeah, that's basically what he is, a hobo. And I feel like this is probably gonna, you know, your previous relationships build traumatic memories and trauma for you to build on. So your first relationship being your worst relationship is gonna make it hard for her to move forward in newer relationships because she's not gonna trust people. They said a homosexual. I love that. I love that, actually. So he went on Reddit. I know you saw it, right? And he did a Q&A, and he said some pretty awful, awful, awful things about women. It reminded me of the Kyle Gordy situation.
Yeah.
Where he said these nasty, terrible, disgusting, vile things about women. And I think it's really interesting when a man has always something negative and nasty to say about a woman, but also wants to be in a relationship with a woman.
Right.
And it's like, it's such a double-edged, double standard, hypocrite thing. Like, you hate women, but you also can't live without women. You have to pick one. And it usually is hate, right? Like, if you can only say something negative about women, you hate them, but you also need them in your life. And it's like, that's definitely something that's scary because you can't love and hate something at the same time.
Yep. I think that's why he wants a lady boy.
Well, I consider a trans woman a woman.
Right. But she, like she said, in her words, she's a lady boy. And that's how they refer to him, just like David and Annie, Cindy.
Right.
She's lady boy. But she just wants the boobs, wants to keep her penis, and be a lady boy. So he is attracted to women and men. So he's bisexual. But there's no damn woman in their right mind that's going to give him the time of day. So I feel so bad for her because I think she is a sweetheart. Everything I can tell, she's a hard worker. She's got her shit together. She knows what she wants in life. She thinks she's coming to America. She thinks she's going to have this great life. And this jackass is going to go over there and shit in the middle of the clean bed she just made. This is going to be awful.
She has no idea. Like, you know how you watch those videos online and it's like before a car accident and everything, it looks totally normal. The intersection looks normal. And then this horrific thing happens, right? Then, like, I feel like she literally has no idea what she's getting into.
Yeah.
And it's just scary for me to think about it because she has her life in order. You know how when some people don't have their shit together and they go into other people's lives and they bring other people down with them? That's what I worry about. I worry that he's going to go over there and try to move into her room that she gets for work and get her fired from her job. You know, like, I feel like he's going to go over there and he's going to destroy what she has because, you know, people who don't have their shit together, they go and they leech off of other people. And I feel like he's going to...
Exactly what's going to happen.
And it's sad because, like you said, I feel like she sincerely wants a relationship. It's just she picked the worst possible living creature.
She should have hooked up with Sean before Sean ended up getting married.
Sean and Aaliyah. Yeah, Sean and Aaliyah. I like Sean. You know, he was very open and honest about his stuff. Like, he wanted the open relationship.
Not only is this her first boyfriend, but also, this guy, he doesn't want to be monogamous. He wants to sleep with everyone and everything. Like, he thinks he's moving to the Philippines. he thinks you can just pack up and move to another country. This guy is so ignorant on so many different levels about so many different things. Excuse me. And she thinks she's just getting this great American guy that lives in Las Vegas, that has a bunch of jobs. He is going to go over there and wreck her, yeah. Wreck her life, wreck her job, wreck her hopes, wreck her dreams. He's going to destroy her.
Yeah. That's what they do, though. They go and they destroy everything in their path. People who don't have their shit together, they go and they find people who do, and they wreck it. They're like a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
They go and they take until there's nothing left to take, and then they retreat. They run away and they leave you in the shambles that they caused. And it's just, I don't know. He really rubbed me the wrong way, though. Like, I've seen the stuff that he said online, and he keeps saying he wants to be on more shows. He's asking fans to write to TLC to get him on more shows. He's giving off, like, strong thirst and desperation. And it's like, when I heard about the fact that he was voluntarily unemployed for his child support hearing, and then I found out that on tonight's episode, Faith was like, oh, he's not stingy with his money. I was like, so wait, he doesn't have money for his children, but he's sending Faith money, which is a kind of a deceit, because he doesn't have any money. He doesn't have a job. He has jobs, but he doesn't have a place to live. But he's selling to her that he has a lifestyle because he's sending her money. So he's deceiving her. So when he gets over here, he can kind of plant himself in her life.
Yep.
I think he's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to stay here for a while. And then a while turns into forever. And then she's going to be out working every day, and he's going to be laying around doing whatever he does all day. Nothing, right? Like,
he's a tool, and I can't stand him. I said it last episode. I'm going to say it this episode. I can't stand him. But I do love
her. Also,
I think she's great.
Lauren said that he sent nudes to Faith. Please, 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 no one leak those.
Please.
Because we've been cursed with seeing cult, and please, these are just between Lauren and Faith. None of us want to see them. So if they're on Reddit and you see them, no need to send it to me or Kara or anyone. We're fine. We don't need to see any of that. Like, I'm not an OnlyFans person for, like, the cast members. I don't need to see them in that way.
Yeah.
I'm good. I like the show. I like the drama, but I don't need to see that. Because when they brought that up, I've got the flashback of the trauma of when the cult's pictures were floating around. And you can't unsee these things, guys. Please.
There's not enough eye bleach out there.
No. There's no reason. And then I remember when the big OnlyFans leak, it went out on Reddit for most of the 90 Day cast members. This was like two or three years ago. And all I kept saying was, why are they so unflattering?
Right.
I was like, who just spreads eagle on the bed? Like, guys, for real, we don't want to see it. If you find it on Reddit, send it to all of your friends. Me and Kara, okay. We're okay. Also, we don't need to see it.
So, I mean, I love Rob now, but even his OnlyFans couldn't be any more unflattering.
Oh, God. That was scary.
His were really bad.
That was scary, right? Like, it's, and you don't know what you're getting into, because the way that someone sent it into my DM, it was just a link. Good God. Once you click the link, there's no going back. You don't know what you're getting into. There was no warning. There was no trigger warning.
Yeah.
There was no, this is what you're about to see. And it's just, I don't know. I don't even know how to get into that. I don't know who wants to see that. I don't know what fetish it is where you want to see people doing these things. It's weird to me. And it's gross. But we're going to come back tomorrow, because The Other Way is coming on. I don't know. I kind of feel like The Other Way is my favorite but we're too early. We're only two episodes in. But I feel like I have more connection to The Other Way, probably because we're going to be on episode 11. And we're only on episode 2 before the 90 days. But tonight is the finale of Forbidden Love.
These are all new people. So, like, it's going to take a minute to get used to them.
Yeah, it's probably that. Because, yeah, it's like I'm trying to... Like episode 1, I was totally fine with Renee. Episode 2, Renee was like under my skin. So it's like, it's too early on. I feel like The Other Way, I've had a little more time, 10 episodes so far to get into the groove of what's going on.
Right.
So I still am really happy that we're getting all new people for Before the 90 Days. It's been years since we could turn on the show and not see Gino and Jasmine. It's been years. So please don't take advantage of this awesome, amazing time that we're in. These are amazing times to be alive.
Yeah.
Gino and Jasmine are not on our TV. Angela and Michael are not on our TV. This is an amazing time to be alive right now.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, guys.
So I know that I sent it to you, but I have to say, so I went on TikTok and Elmer invited me to go live with him.
Oh.
I had already podcasted. I had already changed my clothes. I was already laying in bed and he invited me to go live and I wasn't about to get dressed and go live to ask my questions, but I will the next one.
Oh.
Because I have
so many
questions.
Please do. Yeah. He reached out to me and said he wanted to do an interview, but we went through his publicist and his publicist through Sharp and stuff, and we never heard back. So yeah, if you can get that, that would be amazing. Cause you know, we have a million questions, right? So if you could get in there.
If I get on his TikTok, I'm going to ask him to come on the podcast.
Well, yeah, we will. I want him to come on.
Yeah.
I did go through his publicist through Sharp, but we didn't hear back. So I don't know if maybe they're waiting for the show to end. And then we'll hear back.
I don't know. He was talking some shit on TikTok, so.
Really? Yeah, okay.
So probably got in a little bit of trouble, but that's okay.
Oh, no, that's fine. We're not under NDA. We're good. We don't care.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So make sure you're following Kara. She's tagged in this video. Follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. Hopefully soon we're gonna have Dee Dee back. Dee Dee has been out, but she will be back. As soon as I find out when, I'll let everybody know so we can have like a nice little warm welcome for her when she comes back. Thanks for staying up late with us. And again, we'll be back tomorrow night. We're gonna talk about some forbidden love in the other way. Everybody have a wonderful night and we'll talk to you soon.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.